Good morning. Our text for this Sunday is from Mark chapter 9, beginning at verse 14 through 29. And when they came to the disciples, they saw a great crowd around them and scribes arguing with the disciples. And immediately all the crowd, when they saw Jesus, were greatly amazed and ran up to him and greeted him. And he asked them, "What are you arguing about with them?" And someone from the crowd answered him, "Teacher, I brought my son to you, for he has a spirit that makes him mute. And whenever it seizes him, it throws him down, and he foams and grinds his teeth and becomes rigid. So I asked your disciples to cast it out, and they were not able." And he answered them, "O faithless generation, how long am I to be with you? How long am I to bear with you? Bring him to me." And they brought the boy to him. And when the spirit saw him, immediately it convulsed the boy, and he fell to the ground and rolled about, foaming at the mouth. Jesus asked his father, "How long has this been happening to him?" He said, "From childhood. And has often cast him into fire and into water to destroy him. But if you can do anything, have compassion on us and help us." And Jesus said to him, "If you can, all things are possible for one who believes." Immediately the father of the child cried out and said, "I believe, help my unbelief." And when Jesus saw that a crowd came running together, he rebuked the unclean spirit, saying to it, "You mute and deaf spirit, I command you, come out of him and never enter him again." And after crying out and convulsing him terribly, it came out, and the boy was like a corpse, so that most of them said, "He is dead." But Jesus took him by the hand, lifted him up, and he arose. And when he had entered the house, his disciples asked him privately, "Why could we not cast it out?" And he said to them, "This kind cannot be driven out by anything but prayer." So far the text. Dear friends in Christ, this text brings up a paradox that should be familiar with all Christians. And that's the paradox of having faith and at the same time having doubt. We see it all throughout the New Testament. Peter doubting it was Jesus walking on the water, and so he tries to walk on the water. And then as he's sinking, his faith comes to full bloom and he asks Jesus, "Save me." Or Thomas, he doubted that Jesus had risen from the dead, and yet he still had enough faith to hang around the disciples, hoping against hope that it was true. You read Psalm 73 and you see the suffering of that psalmist as he deals with this paradox, tension between the two of faith and doubt. And we see it certainly in the case of this father in the text. Now, I think we can all commiserate with this father and empathize with him. We probably can't imagine exactly what he went through. His son has been demon-possessed, it says, since he was a little child. Demon has tried to throw him in fire and burn him up and throw him in water and drown him. He's foaming at the mouth. You can imagine his father, probably his wife, and the rest of the family had to be constantly aware of their child and what was going on so they could always be prepared for him when he tried to kill himself. He probably had many, many tireless days and many nights that were sleepless. And he becomes desperate. And when he becomes desperate, he becomes vulnerable. I'm sure for many years he brought his son to many doctors, no help. He brought his son to many exorcists to cast the demons out, no help. Finally, he brings him to the disciples, no help. And then Jesus shows up. And what does he say to Jesus? Now keep in mind, his doubt is deeply rooted in his past. And therefore, his disappointment about the past and his fear about the future kind of shapes his entire expectation of who Jesus is and what he's going to do. And it's not a very good one. He comes to Jesus and he says, "Jesus, if you can, help me out." And we see Jesus sharply rebuking this man. He just kind of snaps at him. You know, he goes, "What do you mean, can?" Jesus does that with some other people. He did it with Peter, when he tried walking on water, and Jesus saves him, and he says, "Oh, you have a little faith." Or Thomas, he said to him, "You believe because you see me? Blessed are those who don't see and yet believe." And he snaps at this guy. Earlier in the gospel, Jesus heals a man with leprosy, and it said he had compassion on him. Why would he snap at this father, considering how weak and vulnerable he is? Well, if you look at the man with leprosy early in Mark, he came to Jesus and he says, "If you will heal me." That's a confession of faith. This man comes to Jesus and says, if you can. So I think there's a very important reason why Jesus snaps at him like this and gets very strong with him. The man obviously has some faith, or he wouldn't have gone to Jesus in the first place, but he has doubt, and Jesus wants him to come to terms with his doubt. See, it's dangerous to doubt Jesus. It's even more dangerous to not know that you are doubting him. Parenthetically, let's look at the disciples. Not the 12, but the 9. The 9 who were not on the Mount of Transfiguration. Of course, they try to cast this demon out, and they were shockingly surprised that they weren't able to do it. And it was an unpleasant surprise because they had just gotten back from their missionary journey, where they not only preached the kingdom of God and coming in Jesus Christ, but it said, and they cast out many demons. So they had been successful time and time and time again, but not this time. And it says only in Mark, by the way, that when Jesus finds them, the disciples, these 9, are arguing with the scribes. What would they have been arguing about? Early on, I mentioned that Jesus healed a man with leprosy. The scribes and the Pharisees were witnesses of that, and they heard what the people said. And the people said, he speaks and he acts with authority. I can almost guarantee you, these scribes are confronting the disciples, pointing at this poor child, and saying, you can't do anything for him. Where is the authority now? And so later on, after the child is healed, the disciples come to Jesus and they say, why couldn't we cast this demon out when we've been successful in the past? Now, Matthew and Mark give us two slightly different answers that are very interrelated. Mark, as we heard in the text, says this type can only come out with prayer. Matthew says that Jesus said you couldn't do it because of your little faith. These two are related. Now, first, let's look at Mark. Jesus replies, this type can only come out with prayer. And that, of course, is kind of shocking, because if the disciples aren't praying during their exorcism, what in the world are they doing? I mean, I know an elderly pastor who did several exorcisms, and I've known a couple other pastors who witnessed them. And when they describe it, 99.9% of it is prayer. I think maybe the disciples at this point had gotten to believe that the source of their power for exorcism and casting out demons came from within. That's why they didn't pray. And then the second part, in Matthew, Jesus says, you couldn't cast it out because of your little faith. I think what he's really saying is, it's because of where your faith was directed. Since you thought the source of your power was within yourself to cast out demons, which it never was, your faith was in yourself instead of where it should have been, in me. Now, when we look at this story, we see a very important story of redemption. Jesus rebukes, and he does for us too, and it's sometimes very painful to hear, because we're in the same boat. We have faith and we have doubt, and our doubts in Jesus are a problem, but not knowing that we have those doubts is deadly. Well, Jesus came down from that little slice of heaven, which was the Mount of Transfiguration, and came down to a very dark valley filled with doubt and unbelief. And yet he shined his light and glory in that darkness as well. He rebukes the Father. What do you mean, Ken? He rebukes him so that his Father has to come to terms with his doubt. And the Father says what? I believe, help my unbelief. He sees the light, and he prays to the right person. Then Jesus rebukes the demon. Get out of him, never come back again. Then Jesus rebukes his disciples, and he tells them, the source of your power was never within you. It's always been me and my glory. Many years later, Peter, right before his death, wrote one of his last letters, and it's we know it as 2 Peter, the letter. In the first chapter, he tells his addressees that he is about to die. He tells them God basically told him he's about to be killed. And so he writes this last letter. And what he wants them to hear is he wants them to hear his eyewitness account of the glory he saw on the Mount of Transfiguration, and also, I think, the glory that he saw in the valley of doubt and unbelief. And he writes these words in chapter 1, verses 16 through 19. For we did not follow cunningly devised fables when we made known to you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but we were eyewitnesses of his majesty. For he received from God the Father honor and glory when such a voice came to him from the excellent glory, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." And we heard this voice which came from heaven when we were with him on the holy mountain. We also have the prophetic word made more sure, which you do well to heed, as a light that shines in a dark place until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts. I pray that in this world filled with doubt, the Lord roots our faith deeply in Jesus Christ, where he is always the object of our faith, because he is the only one who can save us, strengthen our faith, and help us in our unbelief. In Jesus' name, amen.